Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price. How are you this evening? I think you're muted still.
Okay. I am fine. And I hit the mute button. Is that good?
We're good.
We're good. You know, you almost want to have an automatic unmute button, you know, like sound activated or voice activated, but that might not be smart because you could be saying something up to the moment and, boy, you're going to want the live. So I guess I just have to remember. But it's good
That's
to be
right.
back. And I missed everybody, so I'm glad that we're back. Here again, we had our retreat last week. Was that what we did last week, Ashley? Yes.
Yes, we had some heavy training.
Yes, and it was intense, too. I'll tell you, it was intense. We had a great time. I thank everybody who participated and want to tell everybody who's there, mark the first week of April off because we're going to do it again. And keep watching the website so you can find out when it's going to happen and how to, you know, be a part of that. So, anyway, but here we are again back on Tuesday, and we are talking about our standardized ministry assessments that I had designed and developed over almost, 8 years or so ago, and now we're almost close to 10 years. That's a good thing. And so every Tuesday we're here talking about the assessments because we want to help the body of Christ move forward in what God is doing. You know, God does a new thing, and it's interesting that we say that a lot. We sit in churches, we read articles about it, we read blogs, we listen to audio teachings about it. You know, God is doing this new thing. God is not going to do church like he did it before. The churches we know will be it no more. We say all of those things, and they sound great in concept. But when it comes time for God to take concept to actual manifestation, we get stumped. We stumble a little bit because it's wonderful to sit in church and hear and listen to all of those things and listen to prophecy and whatever. But we forget that even though God is using a human being to say it, even a frail human being to say it, fallible human being, he is still God and he still will watch over his word to perform it. Now, another thing about God is that God is always Alpha and Omega. He's ahead of the curve. You know, we are trying to do a 5-year plan or even a 50-year plan or a 500-year plan, but God has got an infinite-year plan. And then he has plans that are beyond years. So God is always ahead. And being ahead, he put it on me several years ago, as I said, nearly a decade ago, to develop the standardized ministry assessments. In answer to his people's prayer about how to know an office from a gifting, how to know what their callings are, it's one thing to say you know you have a destiny, and it's great to take classes to figure out what destiny means and what it looks like, but the more precise thing we all need to know is what our particular destinies are. What did God call us to do? What did God build us to do? Why are we like this and our friends like that? Why is it that, you know, we have 150 people in the church and you know, they're about almost as many perspectives on ministry or serving God. And some don't want to serve him at all. They just want to be good Christians in a pew, and that is okay. However, we still want to know why we're made. And knowing the answer to why you're made is usually triggered by why you're built a certain way, why you think a certain way, why you behave or respond to one thing differently from all of the others in your circle. So all of that is what fed into designing the assessments. Want to know, how can I pick the right person for my position? How do I know who's going to stick it out with me? Who's going to go through with me? Who's going to drop off when the going gets rough? How do I know if I'm putting the person in the right place? Who can take what level of stress and pressure? How much endurance am I to have? And all of those kinds of things. Because when it's all said and done, a vision, it stays in your head until it comes out and gets into people. Your vision must be materialized, and to materialize a vision, it must happen with people. Now, if you have a vision, that means you also have an idea of how it's to be carried out, thus the assessments. So I designed the assessments because I had those very questions. One of the things that God used to trigger them in my mind was John chapter 6, when Jesus started preaching a certain level and the pressure was on because he's coming there bringing this new thing. You know, we forget. Right now Jesus is, you know, 2,000-plus years old and all established with churches around the world. We still can't agree on what he came for. But nonetheless, he's established. But back then, Jesus was a concept. Jesus was like these assessments. His gospel was like what we're talking about. God is doing a new thing. Okay, Yahweh is shifting gears. Well, he hasn't shifted gears in thousands of years. Why should we believe you? But yet God did. And he sent the gear shifter to the planet with a message and a word and a method to make happen what he wanted. And God shifting gears was very simple back then. I'm going global. You know, many people think that Jesus came for a whole lot of different things, and he did. But the ultimate vision in God's heart was he was going global. He's going worldwide. He's no longer going to be locked in to one tiny little nation. He's going global. And so in order to do that, God had to send agents of change. And when you send agents of change, you also send instruments of change. And so here we are now all of these thousands of years later, and God is doing a new thing. And he's sending agents of change, and he's giving these agents of change instruments and ideas or innovations of change. How are we going to do things differently? Well, over the last, up until now, it's been okay for us to just feel our way through. We've been feeling our way through. We feel our way through ministry, feel our way through devotions. We feel our way through a song. You know, the church is feeling its way. You could almost think it doesn't have any eyes because it's always moving with its hands out and its eyes closed, feeling its way through. But there's a time that you need to wake up and look at where you're going, and you also need to look beyond where you're headed to where you ultimately want to end up, calling destination. And so God said that he prepared us before the foundation of the world for good works, that we may walk in them. And that's where we are, but we need to be able to recognize that. So people fall into groups, people groups and patterns, and so does personalities, temperaments, and abilities, proclivities, if you will. So that's where we are with the standardized ministry assessments. God spoke, and he said, my people want to know how to do this thing on purpose. How can I minimize the misplacement of saints, of well-beloved people and well-meaning people in my work, whether it's a ministry, church, or business, Christian business? You still want to know how to get the best that you can get and how to make sure that they are placed to do the best for you. And one great way of doing it is an assessment. Now, that's novel for the church. I mean, that's a novel idea because we feel our way through everything. We don't really seek to know. I mean, why should we have something that we can read when it's just so much fun to feel our way through it? But, you know, the church, like everything else in this era, is growing up. And as it's growing up, it's wanting to take a more sober and a more precise approach to being successful in Christ. That sobriety is what's costing so many people to respond to our Tuesday broadcast and to respond to our teachings on assessments. Why have them? What do they mean? How can you measure the potential of a person? How can you measure the value of their worth to you in dollars and cents or in membership or, you know, bodies in the pew and or members on staff or even goodwill in the community? You realize that that's also a value and it's a need. I mean, are the people that I have in my organization contributing to my goodwill, or are they contributing to ill will through with what, my drop balls and incompetence and lack of knowledge and insecurity or inferiority? Because those are just as detrimental. You can have the most brilliant person in the world, but if they lack the security to do the job, the inner self-esteem to do it, they might as well not know anything at all. And so the sober-mindedness, which I believe is the era that God is putting on the church today, sobriety is the way of the future, where we're going, where we're heading. Just for the sake of us preserving ourselves and not self-destructing as we seem bent on doing as a planet. So that sobriety is causing leaders to ask very sobering questions, and they're not afraid to. Before, we were kind of afraid to ask because the cost of the loss had not yet hit the proportions that it has reached today. So they're asking sobering questions. You know, why should I use you? Do you understand my vision? If I give you this task, how are you going to carry it out? What do you bring to the table that we can rely on? What works in you on and time after time reliably? But those kinds of things you want to ask. But before, we just wanted to know people's anointing, their gifting, their charisma. We wanted to know their heart. Did they love the Lord or whatever? And those things are still important, but they still are not enough. They don't provide enough solid information to make long-term decisions on, that based on covenants that you hold that will carry you for decades. You know, it's been said to me on many occasions that a misplaced minister in your church can take 3 years to be discovered, and almost 10 times that, sometimes certainly 3 times that, to be corrected. By the time you discover it, the loss is real. The empty chairs, the lowered revenue, the morale of the remaining people in the congregation, all of that is costly. And we as Christians, we as leaders in Christ and doing ministry in Him, have not really sat down and said, you know, that was a costly rash decision, or that was a costly sentimental decision, talking about feeling and sensing. And so now God has given us a tool to do both, you know. And, you know, the standardized ministry assessments join the ranks of several other very good ones out there. But we go a little further, because we don't just give you a grocery list of what a person giftings are. We give you a profile, and then we follow it up with some recommendations and some corrective plans, some readiness plans and tracks that you can use to not only discover what a person needs or where they're lacking, but to also be proactive in correcting it and preparing them. Some people are worth the investment. Some people may not be where you need them to be today, but they're still worth it. And this tool will show you how worth it they are. You don't need to just rely on their present skills, but you can also measure their potential. You know, this person has great potential with a little work, some patience, some training, some solid direction, good mentorship. I can get myself a great asset for the kingdom and for His glory and for this work that He's given me to do. So that's what the standardized ministry assessments were created to do for you. They are meant to be a tool to the body. They are meant to help you as a leader, whatever capacity you hold, begin to see people differently, even to listen to their resumes differently. When they start explaining the things that they achieve, you listen differently and you ask very pointed questions. And we're no longer allowed to just be wowed by people's string of achievements. You know, I did this, I did that, or whatever. We want to know what happened. What's the untold story? You know, what's the backstory that brought you in front of us? Or what's the backstory that will determine whether or not you are going to be a quick fix or a long member of our team? So that's what it is. So tonight, I wanted to share that, Ashley. I thought that was something that was very necessary to get out, and also to reacquaint our listeners with why we do Tuesday nights, you know, and the value of the assessment, again, that sobriety. And, you know, being one of our advisors, I'm sure that what I spoke speaks volumes to you, because you're on the phone with these people, but you're on the phone with both leaders and the workers. So Ashley, take a few minutes to tell me, what have you been hearing from the two different groups?
Well, you know, you have two different perspectives, Dr. Price. Often when you think about the word sobriety, from a leadership standpoint, sobriety means benefit. It means security. And sometimes to the followership side of things, it might mean restriction. And so it's just like in our natural flesh when we think about sober, usually because we are rebellious at heart. We think about what we can't do. Oh, I don't have to be sober because intoxication is fine. You're liberated. You're free. You're not locked down by being self-conscious. And meanwhile, all that means is you are a danger to yourself and society, because most people do not do their best work under the influence of anything. And so working with leaders and the followers in the body of Christ, dealing with sobriety, dealing with the assessments, the leaders are often very interested to see if they've, I would say interested and nervous to see, did I do the right thing? Are my people in the right place? Did I make the right decision? Now, that can be, that's a wonderful thing to know, because every leader wants to know that. And what I love about the assessments from the leadership perspective is it's not a rod to beat somebody down. They're actually very edifying. We haven't had a leader yet who goes through the process and just feels like they need to quit ministry. Quite to the contrary, actually, they're motivated, they're inspired. Oh, let's get on this program, let's plug in here, let's do that. Their vision is opened, it's expanded, they see options now. It's like their horizon has opened up where a lot, sometimes they feel like the sun is setting on what they're doing. The assessments might show that they're actually shifting. And so sometimes when you're in the shift and transition, it can look like you are headed possibly down the wrong road. Things may be getting a little rocky, getting a little uncomfortable. Programs that were working, all of a sudden you're not seeing the same results. And the assessment will be able to pinpoint if you are headed down the wrong direction or if, in fact, you're shifting into another direction. Or because of the combination of people in your ministry may have changed, it's also changed the dynamic and the expression of what you're doing with them. So from the leadership perspective, they're always excited to see, okay, my people are excited. My goodness, they're telling each other. I don't even know what's happening. All of a sudden, people are telling me they took the assessment that I didn't even tell them to take the assessment. And they get excited, and a fire is reborn. And then on the side of the congregants, they too, by the time they've answered the questions, a lot of them kind of know what direction the results might be going in, just by the nature of the question. So some people are very willing and ready to do what God wants. Other people are a little resistant because they're resistant in nature, that they don't want to conform on their job, they don't want to conform in ministry. And the wonderful thing about the results is these are your responses and these are your questions. So when the people take them, they are ready to also go to the next step, but to be able to be molded by their leader in a different kind of way. Now there's more hardcore information. We recently put our people through it again because it's been several years. They've grown, we've grown, and some very interesting things have popped up. So it is that public safety ingredient that you really want to populate the body of Christ, because it protects the organization and institution, and it protects the people.
And that is what's important. And also, I'd like to add a third thing, benefit there, and that is, and it also prospers the Lord and brings him glory. You know, God gets glory out of people working happily and compatibly in his service. You know, it doesn't really glorify him to have, grudging folks forced to do it because, you know, they're called rebellious, they're rebuked, their pastor won't listen to them, they just have to do it because they're afraid if they don't, some sort of divine judgment is going to come down on their lives. God is glorified when people are content, they're in the right place, they're not in over their heads, they're able to, you know, navigate their world, their ministry assignments well, and find that what they do finally fits them. You know, sometimes people just feel like, man, am I a fit? You know, we think about, actually, some of the comments we get on our TUAYs, those in that initial form everybody fills out. I mean, think about some of the comments. They say, I don't know where I am. I'm lost. I don't know who I am. I need to know what God wants me to do. I'm about to retire. I have been called. Somebody told me this. I mean, even those are very telling for us when we look at them, because that's why it's important. You know, it's unfortunate that we get that handful of people who don't complete them because they don't take them seriously, because that is a very useful tool for them to even know that the assessments have done their job as far as that goes. You know what I mean, Ashley?
Absolutely. Excuse me.
You know.
Absolutely. It allows people to go the distance. I think that some people, too, are a little nervous to jump in with both feet, and once they get those results, they're like, let's go for it.
Absolutely. So, but listen, we're going to do a little different. We have the team on tonight. Now, is everybody on the team present and accounted for?
Well, let me see. We have them rolling in here. I know that they were wrapping up some assessments here. And I need to go connect with them.
You need to go connect. Well, I know a couple of them were doing advisements even as the call was going on. So while you do that, I'm going to introduce our listeners to something different that we're going to do. You know, we love doing this, but we want to make sure that it constantly serves its purpose. It's more than just getting on sharing this or that, but we want to talk about it. Now, the assessments, tonight we're going to have the advisors, as soon as they're finished up on the call that they're doing now, we're going to have the advisors speaking to some just small snippets of the results. You know, the assessments, we told you, gives you pages and pages of information, much of which most of our assessees never see because, well, it's not anything that's going to benefit them in that context. But it does give us information to use even months afterwards when they sign up for events, when they sign up for programs. We know where we're going. We don't just feel our way through how we're going to handle an advisee that we have on our program. So we have a plan. And so, as I said to you before, the assessments plot a course. They plot an amazing course of a person's life. If we know that it's going to take you 3.5 years to be up to go, or maybe 2.5 years to bring you up level with the professional training program or readiness track that you need, we know where we're going. And it's not a matter of us just trying to figure out, okay, so where are we headed? So tonight, what I want to do is I'm going to have the advisors, all of us are going to do it together, and we're all going to talk about different combinations that happen. When you get an assessment result, the first thing it opens up with is three very important pieces of information. Actually, five or six, but I'm going to name the three first, and then I'll tell you the sub-info that's there. The primary information it tells you is your dominant ministry manifestation office, etc., your dominant calling. What did God call you to do above all else? Well, knowing that no person is a single thing, the second thing the assessments do is they tell you what kind of support system that God built in you for your dominant call to work, for you to succeed, for you to recognize yourself and operate. The third thing it tells you, right out the gate, is the best environment for you to practice or exercise your dominant calling. It's important that you know that. We have found out over the years that, and if you're a pastor or a prophet or apostle and you have had prophetic companies or intercessory groups or anything like that, if you're that person, believe me, you're going to love this because if you're anything like me, you found people that it's a fit that should have fit, a worker that should have worked, a person that was ideally suited, had the gifts, had the talents, had the experience, had the inclination and all of the things that you need. Everything should have been a go, except there was this last piece we didn't check, and that is, were they a fit in a local church? Are they a fit in business? Are they a fit in a charismatic church, an evangelical church, in a apostolic church or prophetic church? So we have as a third piece of information on your assessment that we give you your best environment, the most suitable environment for your combination, because we have learned, most of us by now, there are prophets who are wonderful on the radio, terrible in your church. There are prophets who hold down global TV programs and cannot deal with you across the table. There are apostles that really are wonderful apostles, can start a church, can't pastor it, shouldn't start a church, but is great at starting a business. So your environment is important, and as we were designing these assessments, as I was putting them together, the Lord had to show me not everybody fits everywhere. You know, some people should be in Jerusalem, some people should be in Samaria, and some people just should be in the uttermost parts of the world. You know, now the same gift, same mix, but where it fits, something about that little something that separates us and individualizes us tells the assessment, you know what, you are a prophet, you are called, your second gift is this, you're great in that, but you will do well in this environment. And so for those of you who are listening tonight, we're going to talk about that with our advisors, and we're going to just give you a taste of what it is that we do when we get your results and we begin that post-assessment session with you. Just a little bit. Now, we're not giving any trade secrets away, so because that's not smart, but we want you to get an idea of what it is that people are raving about. We tell you how great it is. We've given you testimonies, and we've shared people's feedback with you. But you, just a little bit more to bring you a little deeper into your understanding of the processes that happen. And again, as Ashley said, it's your answers. Our assessments are 100% electronic, web-based. We don't touch them. No, and as extensive as they are, people are surprised that they can be as extensive as they are and still be totally electronic. We don't touch them. The data comes as it's programmed, and we deliver what God gives us because that integrity is needful. So, Ashley, did we round up the troops?
We are all on the line. The advisees have been put to bed for the night. Yes, everybody's ready to go.
Very good. Okay, so, team, did you hear my explanation?
Yes.
Okay, one yes.
I did not.
You did not hear the explanation? What, were you sleeping on a job?
No, I was trying to close an organizational demo.
Oh, well, hey, that's important. That's important. I said tonight we're doing something different. We're going to give our listeners a taste of the first paragraph that opens up their assessment. And we're going to talk about that dominant calling, the secondary one, and then that tertiary result, which is the environment. And so I'm going to just give you all a couple of them, and I want you to just tell people, just share how you present that to an assessee when you're opening up your advisement. And that's going to be each one of you. We have several here that I pulled out. And, of course, no names, no, they're all anonymous. We don't even know who they are any longer. But so that our listeners can get a flavor for what happens after they hit submit and their completed assessment goes through our system. Okay?
Okay.
Are we all set? Adia?
Ready, set, go.
Yes, all set. All right, so here's how I'm going to do it. I'm only going to give you the three that we have, the dominant, the secondary, and the environment. And just let our listeners know, I'm just going to call out these results. Let our listeners know what that sounds like in an advisement or what it tells you about an assessee, okay? I'm going to start with you, Ashley, since you're so bubbly.
I knew it.
You know, Ashley, you always do get pegged like that. I'm going to start with you. Okay, Ashley, this one, the dominant calling was a gifting, and it was teacher. And this person, secondary, was a special ministries capacity, and they were best suited in a helps environment. What can you tell our listeners if they are a leader or an assessee about just that combination?
Okay, well. Combination, just to recap, the dominant is teacher on the gifting level. Special
right.
Ministries is the secondary, and helps is the environment.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, the first thing I usually, you want me to say with, like, how I start the conversation?
Yeah, just briefly, very broad.
I usually ask people what they thought about the process, and I like to ask them, what do you think you show up as? Because that lets you know a lot about how in tune they are with themselves or with their calling. So for the person who's on that teacher level, if they said teacher or even if they didn't, we would have the big reveal. It's kind of like, you know, move that bus. Here's the big reveal about what your assessment results said about you. You will be the teacher on the gifting level. And then I would go into explaining to them the dominant manifestations of the teacher. The definition explains how they think, how a teacher thinks, how a teacher processes, the emphasis of the Christian teacher in particular, that teachers in general are interested in, and then we go through the things that teachers in general are interested in. They tend to see most of society in these particular ways. We talk about the instincts of the teacher and paint that thorough picture of the definition of the teacher. And, I mean, it's like 10 out of 10 times, whether people are in that field or not, will say, oh, my goodness, that's me. That's exactly me. Either I had no idea or I was fighting the idea or that's exactly what I'm doing. And so we would go through that and how teachers would function, whether in the church or outside of the church. And then we would talk about that special ministries, Dr. Price, where people want to know, special ministries, what does that mean? Does that mean what does special mean exactly? And so we talked about your special ministers. Are you on the intercessor squad? Do you pray? Are you on the praise and worship team? Those kind of auxiliary units in the church, that's your secondary. So that teaching aspect of who you are, it's how you operate without thinking. That's how you process automatically, whether it's your profession or not. That's your operating system that is in, on the inside of you. And then that comes alongside with that special ministries as your secondary, and that's how you will bounce back and forth between the two. And then you should be in HELPS. Well, what in the world? Best environment is HELPS. Well, what is HELPS? HELPS means, first of all, you're not in leadership. Your best environment in which you would flourish. So I would tell a leader, Dr. Price, if they said, where's the best place to put this person? I would not put the weight and responsibility of leadership on them. One, they're operating on a gifting level, and their strongest environment is HELPS, which means that they would come alongside to assist a leader or associates, administrators, clerical support, non-ministerial staff is a part of that. Hospitality workers, aides, and assistants all fall under the HELPS area. And so that's how you get that nice little snapshot picture right there of you're that teaching person. So if you're teaching, then maybe you should be assisting somebody in the children's ministry department or other staff training. So that's how that would show up, and that might be possibly how I would explain that to someone.
Well, that sounds very thorough to me. I'm going to ask you, Chief, now, how would you put that advisee, that assessee to work? Did I lose her?
No, I'm thinking. When you say put the assessee to work.
We already know that they're a teacher. Okay, so but we know that this is a teacher in special ministries, which means you're not going to be training the leadership. You're not going to train the ministers. You're not going to do a pastor's training or anything like that. We also know that the environment is HELPS, which narrows it down even further. What does that say to you as an advisor?
Okay, well, if they are going to be doing their local church thing, because how it applies to local church and how it applies to those outside of local church could be two different things. But in the local church, it means that they'd probably be great at doing the person that will do the training and development for the volunteers, the ministry support team. They could, all of those people that help, they would be able to do training for that. The office staff, people they want to bring on staff in the office to work and help in that environment. They would be able to do the teaching and training and orientation on that level for them and to bring people into that. They could also do well at helping some of the new people who are coming in and wanting to get involved and trying to figure out how to plug in terms of the membership. They can probably help them as well get oriented to the church's vision. And because teachers and trainers are very good at that, helping you understand how things work and what you need to do and giving instruction as well as coaching them through any particular processes that the church may have, any orientation type thing also. I think that this person would be great at doing, depending on where they came up in their readiness and some of the other things that might show up, will let us know if they need to be frontline or if they need to be the assistant, working underneath a strong supervisor. Ashley pointed out that they're gifting, so that might indicate that. So I think that to me, I would use that person that way in the ministry with that particular combination.
Yes, I think that sounds great. Would you also say that person would be better as a a facilitator even?
Yeah. If they're only on the gifting level, let's say that that readiness score is not really clocking high, I would say a facilitator that's working underneath someone that you know, working underneath a stronger supervisor or leader, you know what I mean, that person that can just be that representative as opposed to being the one that is riding shotgun over that. So I would agree, you know, depending on that, because the gifting level is obviously an indication that some other development might need to go on there. But definitely that readiness score is also attesting to that. I would say yes, facilitation might be the best way for them to start. And, of course, the emotional readiness piece, if they're having responsibility issues, that sort of thing, you know, you may not want them to leave.
This one did. You said it, this one did. Have responsibility issues.
Well, then they should not lead the way because definitely we need to – you're not sure about their consistency. You would want someone more stable in their consistency and service to the church to actually run shotgun on that, you know, particular – even if it is just orientation and training and development, you want somebody who's going to be consistent and able to be that role model because, you know, inconsistent people who don't show up are not very good role models for those that are trying to orientate to a new position.
Very, very good, team. Very good. I appreciate both of those. And for those of you who don't know, we have gifting, manifestation, and office. And it's important for you to recognize which one your people are because each one of these indicators suggests a stress level that they can't go beyond. I mean, this tells you where they peak out. Or it also tells you whether or not they're focused or how scattered they might be, you know? Somebody who is really on the gifting level is just, they're enjoying it because they're expressing themselves. So they're enjoying it, and that is good. But now when you want to talk about someone who can act in a pinch and react positively or react effectively with variations and things like that, someone who is also inclined to order and structure as opposed to just letting the spirit flow and letting the people just do what they feel, you know, if you're looking for a particular end product, then you want to start making a distinction between the people who are gifting. And it's not necessarily that they're ever going to be any more than that. There are some people that they're going to operate at that level, great, as she said, great facilitators, as she said, with the volunteers and all of that. And that's good. You need that because we need an organization thoroughly staffed from the top to the bottom. You know, sometimes in the church we get caught up in what we think are most prestigious things, a situation that Paul addressed with the Corinthians. You know, the whole body is important. You know, you need your eyelashes. They're helpful. You know, the fingernails are really good. Anybody who's ever lost a fingernail or lost a nail period, you know that's important. You need all of that, but each person needs to know that everything they do, no matter how perceptively or how perceived that prestige is or not, it's important. So I think that was very good. Well, I want to go and I'm going to switch off to another one. And since I already put you on the hook, Chief, I'm going to give you the prophet pastor. This is a hyphenated. We don't get a lot of those.
Uh-huh.
Are you there? So this one here is prophet pastor. Again, special ministries, but the environment is prophetical.
Okay. All right. So we're dealing with a prophet-pastor combination, which could possibly be a couple of different things depending on, again, I'm going to do it from the vantage point that they're called to the ecclesia. Okay. You know, just so that we can kind of settle that, because sometimes if they weren't called to the ecclesia, it might show up, you know, those could mean different things. So obviously they're prophet pastors, so that means that they are obviously walking in the have the prophet ability to walk in the prophetic and deal with prophetic things, and hear from God and all the giftings and abilities that go with that. The pastoral piece on top of that means that they could either one of a couple of things if they belong in a special ministry and prophetic environment. They could possibly. Okay, depending on that readiness score and where they come up in some other areas, this person could possibly work well at shepherding and helping some of the new prophets that come in since special ministry showed up, and usually that's dealing with the auxiliary. They could also do well at nurturing and shepherding or pastoring new budding intercessors they might be good for that, because especially those that are prophetic intercessors that are right on that line between walking in that position and not. Clearly, they need to be in a strong prophetic environment. They probably should go to a prophetic church or be connected with some sort of – they need to be in a company, okay? They need to be somewhere where there are other prophets around them. Otherwise, they might find themselves struggling and feeling like they're dying, okay, because there's nothing happening on a high spiritual level. There's no engagement of those faculties. So they need to be around other prophets. They obviously would be very symbiotic. The pastoral piece would also indicate a lot of socialization being needed there. And they need to be used in a way in which they can nurture and develop others, as opposed to other prophets, which may just want to train and mentor and coach and kick along there. This person would have a very different approach, which makes me think that they might do well with emerging and budding people and those that are in that transitionary place between the intercessory and coming into something like a prophetic company or a higher level prophetic position, providing they themselves are at that place where they can nurture and develop. Depending on the readiness score, we'll let you know what level of prophet they need to be dealing with. But my thought process is it would be entry level at this point, something entry that they would be dealing with in terms of that, and they need to be accountable to some sort of company, some sort of person. You know, they have to be around other prophets because that's where they thrive, that's where they'll grow, that's where they'll feel settled and find themselves. They're not the Lone Ranger type at all, but they don't need to be the out front prophet. They don't need to be the house prophet if they're in special ministry.
So you don't think they should?
No, not the house prophet. Working with the house prophet as a support, especially in special ministry, like they might work well, you know, as one of those company prophets that can help the chief, the superintendent, and possibly even the deputy chief or the, you know, assistant to the chief prophet in the company. They could be that maybe third person on that rung that would be helpful in helping the prophets and the prophetic company settle and ground others that are called to that in that church environment. Because we found out that we needed those people. Not everybody needs to be up in the clouds. We needed some of those people that did want to sit down and talk with the person and say, how's it going, and let's pray, and let's work it through. Because sometimes the chief prophet doesn't always have that pastoral edge. And so that pastoral edge will help them settle a lot of the newbies and the entry levels and some of the looky-loos that come along and are maybe interested in prophetic things in that house.
That sounds really very, very good. Well, I'm going to make a couple of comments, and then, Dee, I'm going to come to you for what you would think would be a reasonably responsible readiness program or training program for this person. But before, I'll give you some time to think on that, because I want to make a comment, too. You know, this prophet pastor is definitely a person who might also make a good assistant pastor in a local church. This person could very well work well with pastor who wants to shift his church to the prophetic, and when doing so, you want this other person who's going to be prophetic, but not so sharp, not so incisive with the congregation, because many times there are pastors who say, I want to take my church to the prophetic, but that's not me. That's not who I am. I God doesn't speak to me like that. Now, I love the sheep. I'll give a word of knowledge. I'll give a word of wisdom. And every now and then the Lord will use me in some sort of prophetic preaching tone or tenor. But for the most part, handling that perception, that predictive side of my congregation's needs, I'm just not suited for it. Here's what we're looking at, though. We're looking at the church where the people need that predictive side. They need that intercessory. They need that I need somebody to help me make a decision, that prudence that tells me whether or not God's going to bless this job, this marriage or that marriage, this career, whatever. And so they need that. And so if we did it in the local church, people, they wouldn't be on the phone with the psychics. You know, then we wouldn't have to answer questions like, what's the difference between a psychic and a prophet? If we were doing our jobs well, people would tell us what the difference is. And so that's something that you might want to consider, too. If no one takes our assessment, or pastor, if you decide, I want to obey God's call on my house to add a prophetic dimension. You don't have to become a prophetic church to add a prophetic dimension. You don't even have to cease being a denominational church to answer the predictive needs of your people. Just because you're not doing it in the church doesn't mean they're not getting the answers elsewhere. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why a pastor would want their sheep to go everywhere else for what they need. Now, granted, you know, you need some training that we don't offer in the house, that's fine. But I still want to shepherd my people in every aspect. I don't just want to shepherd their souls for when they get ready to go to heaven or hell. I don't want to shepherd just their evangelical side or their pastoral side or even their teaching side. I want to shepherd my flock, even if that shepherding requires me to partner with other people, other offices and giftings to see to it that they get full coverage. So here's a case where we can do that. If this person's secondary gift was not special ministries, they could probably be the senior pastor. But because special ministries showed up, it tells us this person cannot bear the weight and the stress of the senior pastor. Now, what's this like in this person's world, this prophet pastor, this combination? Let's talk for a moment about what that's like. What is this person living? This person is living a duality that very few people can make sense of. There are times that this sweet, loving pastoral side that weeps and nurtures and counsels and consoles and all of that will just all of a sudden whip out a sword and say things that appear to be uncharacteristic of that person. But that's that prophet side. That's God going in now and dealing with that duality. So when you're working with a person like that, training has got to be a little bit double-edged. You're going to have to not teach them how not to suffocate the pastor while you're doing the prophet, and likewise, conversely, not suffocate the prophet side that's incisive, that gives that spontaneous God on the scene information by allowing the pastor's concerns and the pastor's coddling, which we need that because people got a hard life, but the pastor's coddling to cancel each other out. Now, that's a challenge for this person. Add to the fact that they're called to special ministries as opposed to a secondary office or a secondary official gifting, and we've got a little bit of a struggle. This person would need a strong prophetic mentor or a strong apostolic mentor to help them navigate this duality that's always going to be there. And I sense that there are some of you out there, I mean, it doesn't even have to be deep and spiritual, but just by the sheer numbers of our callers, we know that there are some of you out there who are experiencing that. I'm almost this and I'm just about that, but I'm not quite either all the time. And that it could well be that you're one of those combinations, very rare. And that's how finite this assessment is. It will even peg you if you're a combination. And so here's what you have to be on guard against. You have to be on guard against whether or not someone wants to make you something that you're not. In this case, the prophet came up first, which tells us that that's the dominant influence. But yet, to make you compatible with the sheep of God's flock and their tender needs and their experiences, he tempered that prophet's mantle, that ordinary incisiveness, sharpness, by putting that pastor's cloak on it, so that even though you see what you see, it is not delivered as a hypodermic needle. It could be a salve. We could just, you know, sometimes, you know, a prophet is going to give you the needle. You're going to get the injection. That's how it's going to be. You're going to be, you know, you're going to be poked, pricked, whatever. But when you put that pastor's anointing on it, that pastor's temperance on it, you can get a salve. Why don't you just rub this cream in three times a day and it's going to be fine. Less painful and probably just as effective. Now you've got this duality, though. You might get the injection every now and then. We might give you the salve and give you the salve and give you the salve and realize, wait a minute, you're not responding. This condition is not getting better. We need to take stronger measures. Well, the prophet side of that calling sees to it that you have the resources and the proclivities for the stronger measures. So this is a great duality, I think, to have. And then we add to that the environment being prophetical, which means that even though you have that pastor's peace, in order for this particular assessee to feel full and to feel at home, comfortable, this person has to be around prophets. I love how you said, Tyler, a prophetic company is a great environment for this person. You know, an intercessor's company or intercessor squad, great environment for this person. Great environment. These are, you know, all of this is really useful information. If I was a leader and I had something like this and I found out that this is what I was working with, I'm about to make this person a senior pastor in one of my churches, or I'm about to go off and do something else, and I wonder, because now all I've seen for the last several months, or that I've known this person, or the last year, all I've seen is the pastoral side. Now I'm gone, and the weight of having to carry organization is now falling on this person. What's going to show up is going to be that prophet side as well. So I thought that's very, very important. And also, you have to make sure if you're using this kind of person and you want to leave them in charge of your organization, do you want it to go, you know, predominantly prophetic? Maybe not. You might want to think about that. And still, we're at the special ministries, that auxiliary thing. This is an auxiliary minister. This is not a primary minister. This is a support person. You have all of those support things where major decisions don't have to be handled, major issues are not needing to be attacked, and major actions don't need to be taken. This is what you want. So I thought that was very good. Well, D, I gave you a little bit of time. Did you give some thought to how you would develop this person as an advisor?
Definitely. I think depending, usually the categories play a major part in how they're developed, depending on which categories show up as their strongest versus which categories, you know, show up as needing a lot of development. But I would say on a general level, just based on their profile and their three key areas, that even the assessment itself would probably recommend something like living the prophetic life. And I would do a combination of that and orientation to Christian ministry with some kind of emphasis on administrative, supportive leadership type of roles, being that they have that combination going on. So definitely a piece of, you know, ecclesial administration and how to do that and how to be a support. And then the prophetic as a whole, understanding the prophetic as an institution and the role that they play in that big world. So it's some kind of program that would emphasize that development and helping them be the supportive, you know, administrative piece that they need to be.
Very, very, very well said. Ashley, do we have Apostle Sally on the line?
Yes, we do.
Because I would like her to tell our listeners what type of prayer support and also what type of other support she would give a person who has all of this going on and they're just finding out about it. They're like, what? You know? So talk to our listeners tonight about what type of prayer support would you give someone, because you also add that to your advisors. You add the whole prayer piece as well as other support to help them settle into this particular calling mix.
Okay. Well, I like my question. Thank you. As a newer advisor, I have learned a lot already, and so thank you for allowing me to answer this question, which is more in the area of what I do a lot of. But I would give the prayer support of someone finding out about their position as prophet, pastor, or any of their positions, to tell them to just submit that time to prayer regarding what God has revealed to them and allow themselves to get more and more understanding of what they're doing while they're in prayer. Ask God to give them understanding, give them wisdom regarding their giftings or their office of where God is trying to take them to their destiny, and allow God to just get their will in alignment with His will, to form in them everything that He wants them to be as a kingdom officer for Him. So, but I would express to them to really just take what has been given, submit it to God in prayer, and just spend some time just allowing this to settle in their hearts and not get nervous about it at all.
Very good. Now I'm going to ask you, Adia, because I'm going to ask you this last question, Prophet Adia. And then I'm going to give you a a result to address. This is my question. You talked about how you would do the Christian ministry and living the prophetic life. If you had to tell somebody, okay, I want somebody like this, I want to beef up my Bible study. I mean, if I'm going to be this kind of a prophet, and, you know, prophets do speak the words of God, what type of Bible prep would I need to fulfill a capacity that would utilize my particular mix? What would your answer be?
That's a good one. Well, we may, obviously starting with the prophets would not be a bad idea. You know, when you're dealing with, is that what you're asking, like what specific books of the Bible that we would start with? Okay. Definitely would start with the prophets. You know, that's the foundation. You got to understand the predecessors, what they were trying to say and do. Jeremiah would probably be the one you want to start with. He was often called the shepherding prophet. And understanding his burden for the people of God, and also the burden that he carried for the message that he had that God gave him, you know, for God himself. You know, prophets are prophets for God first. But he also was able to kind of, he dealt with that a lot, you know, having to carry the burdens of the people and what they were doing, and having to carry his prophet's burden too. So starting with that, definitely starting with the prophets would be the place to begin. And also, you know, the framework of the ecclesia. So we'd have to jump into the New Testament a little bit too, because, again, they're trying to balance an understanding of both. So looking at the blueprints that the apostles laid out for the church too would be a place to work on. But starting with the prophets, I think, would be the best thing.
Well, I say again, very good response. So here's what we're going to do, Prophet Adia. We're going to take a break. And while we're on break, this is going to be your mix. Prophet, special ministries, pastoral environment. Now, they almost sound alike, don't they? Are you
Almost. Can you tell me that second category one more time?
Okay, it's special ministries. So the mix is prophet, special ministries, pastoral environment. So while we take our break, you get a chance to prepare how you're going to address this assessment.
Amen. Okay. Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as his kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you sit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources, explore the possibilities.
So may I just interject that for all of your listeners and for those who may listen later on the recording, I have taken your assessment. So I have to tell people it is crucial that you do that for yourself, that you invest in yourself to find out what God has placed in you, and that it is completely worth it. It is not just, you know, grandma's old spiritual gifts test, so to speak. It is in-depth. It is, oh my goodness, multiple layers, and it just opens you up to what God has placed in there. And then when you get the advisement on, now what do you do in terms of steps? So that's my promo.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
And we are back with the Paula Price Show, part two of this very dynamic episode of giving some demonstration to what the post-assessment advisement sessions are like. Dr. Price.
Yes, and tonight we're doing something very, very different because we have the advisors going a little more specific than they have been on our call. You know, every week we want to give you more and more of the experience and also the motivation for why we do this. We've had, as you heard, one of our testimonials, we've got dozens of testimonials where people can say, you know, this worked for me. It was great. It worked for my leaders. They're better. As Ashley, as she said, you know, early in the show, people are like, no, my people are on fire now. They're motivated. They're excited. They're focused. They are walking around with a confidence because they know who they are. And strangely, they're just as confident about knowing who they are not. That's also important because then you don't have to fake it. You don't have to pretend to be like someone else. You can work on being the best you the Lord made you to be. So our advisors tonight are giving you a glimpse into what they do all day, every day on the advisement call. Because the minute you hit submit, our process begins. And, you know, we have a couple of we have our administrators who do some of that, you know, get it ready for us stuff. But it's the advisors that walk you through that assessment and help you understand what it means that you chose the answers that you chose, what it revealed about you, but also how it reinforces you, how it reaffirms you. Because I have found that this tool is both reaffirming and reinforcing. So we left off with Prophet Adia about to tell us about her trio. And your trio is, Prophet Adia, this assessee came up prophet, special ministries, and best suited for a pastoral environment. What do you do with this wonderful person?
Well, amen. Again, the readiness level definitely would determine in terms of administrative or governmental office. So just putting that out there. But with the special ministries piece, definitely picking up on what's something that Prophet Tala mentioned earlier, it does give you insight into how they should be used. So this is kind of how I would describe their profile. I would say they are a prophetic special minister with an ecclesial call. I would describe them as a person with this kind of profile would do well on an intercessory squad and being an administrative part of church community teams and outreaches, you know, dialoguing with pastors and church leaders on ministry group ideas that would enrich, you know, the voice of God in people's lives. Because you know they're prophetic, but the special ministries piece, it lets you know the direction that they would need to go. The pastoral piece lets you know that they would want to be, they would flourish the best connecting with ministry leaders that actually touch the people and deal with the people's lives. You know, you talk about pastoral, they're right in the midst of people's lives. So their prophetic nature would lend itself well to those different, you know, church community types of groups that deal directly with the lives of people, enriching their lives, encouraging them in their discipleship, and using their prophetic nature as a part of that. So that's something that I would begin with. Dr. Price, you can let me know how you feel about that, but that would be something that I would pick up from their profile.
Well, I think that that's a good start, especially since I am definitely handicapping you guys because I'm not giving you the rest of the information that you normally use. This is just, let's just give a generic thing. If your file got lost and all you did was, which ours don't, let me just say ours do not, but this is theoretical, and all you had was that top piece, what would we say, where would we begin, with your years of experience and exposure. But let me say to our listeners, there is a conglomerate of facts and data that's around here, and so this is, this result, even though it comes first, it's the aggregate of an entire process and profile that we kind of abbreviate for our assessees. And she's right. For example, this person's a gifting, so you're not going to make them the head of the prophetic company per se because, well, they're a gift. They're not ready to be the head. They could be, again, a good assistant, a good number three or four is what I usually say giftings are great at. So this is really good. So you hit that right on the head. I would also, if I were making a recommendation and wanted to utilize this person, and since this pastoral environment is good, then to me, I would also say that if you had a prophetic network, if let's say this is a denominational church or denomination, well, and you want to move into the prophetic or you want to bring people up to date, up to speed with the prophetic, someone with this mix could possibly be great as an orientation. That would be something that this person could do, all right, because you've got all of these churches. If you're not, let's say you're an apostle or prophet with a lot of churches and you want to bring them on board, this is a great person, a great mix for you to use to send out in your name as a spokesperson for the prophetic and also as an orientator who will help the churches go on board. So you might have, you know, might come up with some ideas. Maybe they can give this person your vision and then see how they would pull it together. Another thing that this person would be very good to do would be training the pastors, you know, not necessarily training per se, but at least introducing the prophetic to the pastors, just being there to answer their questions, to feel their concerns, and also to give some balance to it, as well as helping the pastors identify and deal with the awakening prophets and prophetic people, because not just always prophets. We've got your prophetic people, your psalmists, your intercessors, your dreamers, your seers, you know, all of that is in a church. You know, when we think prophet, we always just think about this person stands and saying, thus is the Lord. Well, you know, how that person got that information from God is also very important. Some people get it by dreams. There are people who are just, they're dreamers. Other people get it by seeing. They're seers. And so we need to know that helping these churches establish at least a framework for a viable prophetic community and prophetic life. You know, under the current flow, under the evangelical movement, everybody's, you know, hot on spiritual life, and that's great, you know. And so, and then we, you know, we, because that mindset is, you know, we all hear from God ourselves our way, and we interpret it as we see fit, and so that's spiritual life. But there are people that God speaks to rather differently. That it's not vague, it's not generic, it's not some canned response, you know, that you hear, you go to those churches and, you know, this prophet stand up and say, thus says God, I love you, I like you, you're real wonderful, I'm happy to have you, it's good you're in the family, hope to keep you around, that kind of stuff. But you're talking about someone who's saying, well, you know, God wants to deal with this congregation this way, he wants to take you that way, etc. And you as leaders should really know the different sounds of a prophet spirit versus a prophetic influence. Because the unction from the Holy Spirit is a different sound to a congregation that is not prophetically affined, as opposed to a person who or a church like the last one being in a prophetic environment. The prophets are going to speak very differently. Many Christians don't know the difference between the prophetic gift in communicating and the office speaking. But, you know, that's what this person would do, give that basic generic information. So, Adia, listen, take a deep breath, exhale. Great job. You gave just the information we needed to give. Hallelujah. Do you have any final comments?
No, I just say amen. And, you know, this is actually helping me too. So I'm taking notes on your thoughts about these profiles because it's just ever evolving. So I'm appreciating the conversation as an advisor for future clients as well.
But, you know, and again, that's what we say. You know, remember our testimonial said they're layered. These things are layered, and they're so layered that they leave room for God to tap into the uniqueness of the human dynamic of every SSE. We've had some things pop up. We were like, wow, I wouldn't have thought that. I don't think we've ever had that. You know, our evaluator who looks at the scoring, she says, this is new. This is unusual. So now, Prophet Ashley, are you still on the line?
Still here.
All right. God, you know, I have to say that so you know to hit that mute button. You know, you had to remind me earlier that to say that so you can hit the mute button. Listen, okay, so you've heard us talk about this person. What type of training would you think this person would benefit from if you were the advisor? Now, I know we're not going into specifics, but just give some general ideas so our listeners will know that we go beyond just giving a grocery list.
Sure. Well, when you have that pastor-prophet combination, first of all, it's like the ultimate secret weapon, I think, of a church that is either transitioning or has the prophet at the top, because they're kind of like the spoonful of sugar helping the medicine go down. As long as they are clear on the roles between the two, we had to function very pastorally with our church, stepping in between when you gave your messages, what you did, breaking them down, gamifying, making things fun, all those kind of things for them to speak sheep. Somebody has to speak sheep, even on behalf of the Lord. And so the training program would involve, to me, laying down the foundation of both offices, even if they function as a gift, to understand where the two clash and where the two can meet and complement each other. Like you said earlier, they can almost look duplicitous. Well, one minute you're very pastoral, and then the next minute, where's the sword come from? What's happening here? Because they shift from making sure that the people are working and accommodating with the presence of God, as well as not compromising what he's doing. So that training program would have a lot of elements with the prophet and the pastor as far as the purpose and functionality of both, how they can work together, and when to know when to exercise one over the other.
Amen. Well, Tyler, you're next.
I'm here.
Good. I want to give you a little bit of a challenge. Just assessing. You know the scripture adage, to whom much is given.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you, I'm putting you to work tonight because that's what you should do. So here's what I want to have. Okay, this one here came up. Are you ready? Prophet, business and finance in an apostolical environment. I know. That's what I said when I read it. I was like, whoa, this is new. This is nice. You know, profit. And the secondary gift, remember, the supporting thing, that supporting gifting is business and finance. But yet, this person has got to, this person will thrive in an apostolical environment. So, hey, come on, work with us. Let our listeners know what is it that God is unleashing on the kingdom in a few years.
Well, I think I love combinations like this. It's very interesting because that business and finance can mean that they could be ecclesiastical, or it could mean that they could be non-ecclesiastical, a person who could do well working outside of the church, even with that apostolical environment. So I would love to, you know, dig into that and be able to explore some other components to go with, you know, to go with this combination. Obviously, as a prophet, it could mean that they're an organizational prophet, which means that they could be called to work with organizations in a counselor capacity, consulting type of capacity, and really be able to help churches on that level and use their prophetic in that through, because obviously they like to use their mantle or their prophetic gifting through the avenue, express it through the avenue of business and finance. So that would be their thrust in terms of what they would focus on and their sphere there. So I think that they could possibly be, they could be an organizational prophet that can work with Christian ministries and businesses and organizations. That apostolical environment can lend itself to its ability to literally do what it says, work alongside apostles and prophets. It could literally mean that they need to be in an apostolical environment. Certainly, I will say this as a sidebar, certainly for this individual, for their church, for the sake of their church attendance, they probably should be going to a church underneath some sort of apostolic covering, because they would thrive there. Depending on how connected that leader is with this reality, they could thrive there. They could, you know, really grow and be strengthened in a church environment of that sort. That apostolical environment could also lend itself to the fact that this person could be this organizational prophet with this specialization in the area of business and finance, working in that arena, and could literally work in government, because that's happened to me. And so when you think about the apostolical traits and all that's encompassed with that, the structure, divine order, government, administration, as, along with the foundational, you know, aspects when it comes to God and creation and wanting that revelation, wanting that foundational type teaching and all of those kinds of things being included, they could literally, those attributes could be showing up, that they might already be working in that type of environment or thrive in that type of environment. This person can also work well coming alongside apostles in that area of building, helping them establish networks and collaborations, visions and ventures type thing, collaborating with them on ventures or helping an apostle get a venture off the ground, okay? They're trying to get a building, trying to do a project. Somebody who has that ability to procure funds and work in that sector along with that push and power and potency of the prophet's mantle working with them can make them an asset in that capacity as well. And so this, to me, is a very full combination of things that showed up here for this individual. And having some of the other information might narrow some of that down. But clearly, I think that they could work well as an organizational prophet who probably will find their greatest benefit attending an apostolic prophetic type house in terms of somebody who would be able to nurture and groom who they are. Now, hopefully they will not be exploited for that, but that's something else on a whole nother level. But I definitely think that they could work well with organizations, and they definitely could be a part of a special project in which they can combine the use of their mantle with a vision or a venture.
Excellent answer. And I was going to say excellent and exceptional at the same time. You know, I was thinking
the same.
Well, I figured I was going to give you something like that because you guys have been really shining tonight. So that means that, you know, you all might get some more perks. I don't know. It seems like it could happen. But with this person here, if this is one of those, to me, this is one of those ideal results that we need to help establish what marketplace ministries is, and also what personalities and what predispositions are best suited for it. A lot of people like marketplace ministries because of the monetary benefit. I mean, that's the obvious appeal. But not everyone is suited for it. Not everyone can go and deal not with Jesus as the shepherd in the flock, coaching and consoling the body, but as a warrior who has got to take territory for the king. So a marketplace minister thinks very, very different, even as a prophet. We talked about this above earlier. We talked about this prophet pastor. Now we're talking about a prophet of business and finance. That's a warrior spirit all by itself. And if it's in a person who doesn't even know it, you know, because we don't know, again, these are not anything that we know, but if it's in a person that who doesn't know it and this person is trying to make it in the church, they're dying. They are dying. They are often put off to the side, or either they are frustrated because every time they turn around, the pragmatism and the practicalities of survival and conquest and thriving, not there for them, and they need it. So that is why even this apostolical church, needful, very, very needful, because and it has to be with a seasoned apostle, because if it's a newbie, this new apostle is probably going to clash with a person with these kind of strengths. Because this is a necessity with unusual aptitudes and strengths. And that kind of strength is not going to be well appreciated in a new or young apostles' church. It won't benefit the church because this person is not in a position or not positioned to benefit the church by bringing in those revenues. So that's not going to be a good thing. This person here, if they can't find an apostolical church, needs to find a nice fellowship. Just study the Bible, learn God, keep under a prayer covering, and rather than attempt to try to fit in and help somebody do a vision that they don't want. This is a warrior spirit. This person is a conqueror. They want to go after it. Some of the things that I see them doing, that prophet side is going to be very helpful in a consultative capacity. Because you're talking about now taking that business and finance acumen and empowering it with prophetic wisdom and insight, prophetic wit, the prophet's wit, and you've got a consultant that is just going to be right on that line. That's going to be taking those forecasts that businesses need to go forward and empowering them and I think refining them with that prophet's wisdom. So I think that's it. That marketplace thing. We also are looking at an entrepreneur who is also a risk taker. Not going to be right with a leader who doesn't want risk. Going to be a risk taker, very strategic in their minds and in their methods and approach to things. And that apostolical environment says that if they have to, without being in that environment, the innovation, those new things, the inventions. This is a person inclined to inventions, inclined to create new things, inclined to see solutions in every obstacle. Where many people see barriers and obstacles, this person is going to see solutions in every obstacle and look for a fight. Also, will frustrate friends because always need a new thing. You know, yesterday's win, not enough. We ate that steak from yesterday. We need a new one today. So this is a very unique mix, and I believe it's not as uncommon as we think. I think a lot of you all who are listening have that or something close to this. But this is not just entertainment for you folks. We're not doing this to entertain you. We are genuinely letting you know what awaits you when you hang up this call and you go to my website, drpaulaprice.com. You know, if you can't remember the long name we give you, just always remember, it's the Paula Price Show. Go to drpaulaprice.com. Click, I want to find out what my three are. What is my dominant calling? What is my supportive calling? And what is my best environment? And that's just a snippet of the information that we give you through these assessments. And it's a bargain. It's a bargain at any price, but we have priced it at a rate that you can afford it, that you got to say, hey, this amount of money, this little bit of money to find myself, to find my life, my goodness, I can't pass this out. If you're a pastor, if you want to talk to your people, you want to learn, okay, who do I have sitting among me? Who's sitting around this conference table with me every week in these meetings? Who is my strategist? Who is my tactician? Who is my creator? Who's my inventor? Who's my problem solver? Who is my troubleshooter? Who can stand the stress? Who can I bear my soul to versus who must I keep at arm's length? Those are things that it would behoove you to know so that we don't find the answers to these questions out just a little bit too late. So I would say to you, pastors, if you have a group, you know, if you're over church, this is ideal for you. We have group versions of this. Can you imagine? Think about it. Can you imagine as a leader getting the information, just this little bit of information that we've shared on you with you tonight with these different types? Can you imagine getting that kind of information on all your staff? Can you imagine sitting down in your favorite chair with your favorite beverage, that herbal tea that you like, and sipping that and going through these files, these results, saying, wow, this is it? Well, you know what? We can do that for you at PPM Global Resources without a problem. It is ease to us. If you go to our website, ppmglobalresources.com, and say, I want a demo. You heard Chief Prophet say, I just got off the phone with the demo. We do demo presentations all the time. If you have an apostolic network, a prophetic company, if you have a prophetic guard, an intercessory squad, whatever it is, if you want to take, let's say you want to do it for your trustees. What am I doing? They're the trustees of my organization, of my church. Who am I working with here? What's to know about it? And what should they know about each other? Let's talk about your board of directors. Same thing. Simple. They go online. They say, I want to take an assessment. Or you contact our offices via the web and say, I want a demo. I want to hear a little more about this. We spent our time tonight going this direction for you to know it is not, well, you know, you're 20% a leader, you're 50% an apostle, you're 30% something else, you're 0% this, but actually your apostle was canceled about this. We don't do that. We give you information. You heard them mention to you, well, we, you know, without us having the benefit of the usual information that we work from, talking about readiness factors and emotional intelligence quotients and understanding which category strengths and weaknesses, they didn't have any of that. But that is what you get when you talk with them and you talk with these advisors. That's what you get. And so we definitely encourage you to, you know, go and take this assessment. We've had nothing but positive results. I mean, if we're talking about point for point, no, not 100%, but we are very, very close to 100 in client and assessee satisfaction. And that means that this tool is a God idea, and it's a God idea whose time has come. Listen to me, leaders. You do not have to rush it. You don't have to rely on just feeling your way. Now, I know for some of you this is new. It is foreign. It is strange. My goodness, how can you do it? We had one apostle out of Louisiana say to us, how could that computer prophesy? Printed out his results and those of his people, and all he could say was, this ain't nothing but God. That's what he said. I'm just quoting him. This ain't nothing but God. And so why would you not take advantage of something like this, especially now where the price is so low? It's not going to stay low like this much longer, but right now it is. And so this is a bargain. Information like this you get, it's a bargain. And frankly, I feel it's a bargain at any price. So that's what we wanted to talk to you about tonight. I wanted to just share, you know, some of those things with you, to share with you what it's like to get this. I thought this last one was ideal. We do have a couple more that might be beneficial. But Prophet Ashley, I'm going to ask you to speak into this last one. What are some of the things that were swirling in your heart and in your mind as we were discussing this last one with the prophet, the business and finance, and the apostolical environment?
Well, I think this is the one where people will often feel the most conflict. We make people feel either your business or your church, either your secular or your sacred. And the hairline fracture, the bone and marrow, the joint and marrow difference in the assessment results will let somebody know, yes, you can do business in the church, or you are called to do business in your community. And when you were talking about that, I have clients who are like that, and they pop up with a variation of that result, and they are passionate. I mean, prophetic as the day is long. God talks to them in dreams, visions, all kinds of things. They almost have a movie playing out every night in their sleep. And they are business machines. They can pop out business ideas. I want to do this and I want to do that. And God showed me this in a dream. And so that shows. And then, of course, being in that apostolical environment, that's kingdom. I mean, that's business is all about kingdom. And so that's that Daniel, you know. You are the prophet. You're in government. You're in business. He was in a business position, your kingdom, and all at the same time. So those were the thoughts that were running through my head when we were having that profile go forth, is there are, like you said, a lot more people out there than they realize who do fall into that category. And what I love is it shows up in the assessment results. There really is something in there for every kind of combination of person.
Now, and isn't that wonderful to say? I mean, I'm telling you, when I think about it, I have to praise God. And, you know, you want to say, God, I praise you that you wanted to give something like this to your people. And so, and interestingly, he does speak to them. He speaks to his people, you know, and he tells them, you know, this is for you. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's for everybody, but I'm going to tell you this, it's for a lot of bodies. And that's all we need, because we can turn this thing and establish people in purpose and destiny without them running back and forth to all of these meetings, buying tons of books that present the problem and then represent it and then, well, represent the problem, and they still don't get an answer. You do not take these assessments and walk away and say, you know, I still don't know. You don't even walk away with a half a piece of computer paper printed out just with a list of things. You walk away with you in print. That is what these assessments give you, you in print. Where you are right now in your walk with God, your readiness, your calling, your anointing, your experience, it doesn't matter. It gives you in print. And I can't think of anybody who would not like to walk away the packet of paper that's all about them. Because, listen, folks, we have a lot of things that diminish who we are, that dismiss us, dismiss our talents, dismiss our gifts. Many of you on the line tonight, you have jobs where they just overlook you left and right and have overlooked you so long, you almost wonder if you have value at all. I mean, am I valued? Is anything I do worthwhile? You know, we think about that. You know, Adi, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit at this point about the TUAYs and some of the reasons that people give for taking the assessment. You get them a lot. You get a lot of them. And I think Ashley, you do too. So let's talk a little bit about what is it that people say motivates them to even want to consider taking the assessment, let alone invest in it. I'll start with you, Adia.
I would say one of the primary reasons that we receive are people who are looking to connect with their purpose, but also people who are looking to take the next step. You hear that phrase a lot. You know, I feel like I have a sense of what God's called me to do. I really need to know what to do next. I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. I want to make sure I'm in the right place. So placement, I think, would be a big motivator for why people take this, to understand what is God calling me to do? What is my next step? You know, if some people take it and they understand, or they feel like they understand what God's calling them to do, then they're taking it because they want to see how all the pieces fit and how do I put language to what I've been experiencing. So that's placement, I think, would definitely be one of the big motivators for taking the assessment.
Now, what do you think would be a large motivator for the leaders that we have sending their people through?
For the leaders taking it themselves or for the leaders having their people take it?
Both.
I think for the leaders having their people take it, it's definitely so that they know if they have their people in the right positions, for sure. You know, do I have my prophets in the right place? Are my prophets prophets? You know, are my leaders meant to be leaders? You know, is that what they're really strong at, or are they strong at other things? So I think that a lot of ministry leaders will take it to get a sense of, I want to make sure that my people are in the places that they're going to be thriving and are going to gel the best with what we're doing in this house right now. So I think that's definitely a big motivator. Leaders take it themselves as well to see the broader scope of what they can do. You know, that is the beauty of the assessments. The assessments are so expansive and well-rounded that they're going to give you more than just, well, this is a gifting that you have, but also to see where they are ministerially speaking in every way, you know, knowledge, experience, and how that has come together and where it has brought them so far, you know, exposure and abilities, capacities for different things. A lot of ministers will take it and find out there was yet another level that I can climb to, you know, in ministry, and that can be an exciting idea, an exciting thought to know that there's yet another place that you can go to in ministry and in your ministry ability. So I think a lot of leaders take it for those reasons as well.
Very, very good. How about you, Ashley? What would be some of the things that you think from what you've seen and tell us about you for that people say is the reason they take the assessment?
Well, very similar to what Prophet Adia said. Also, it's clear that it's kind of like God is turning down sometimes the voice of prophecy in people's ears because he wants them to get more hard data. It's clear he is shifting his people to, like Prophet Tala said, come out of the clouds, and everybody needs to be in the clouds, and to come down here and to really get some hard facts about their life. You know, before it was like somebody would feed someone prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, and that would just be enough for them to run their life on. But there's this awakening and this desire for people to know more information and to have something a little more solid in their hands. And so that seems to be reflected too. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? And am I doing it the right way? And then leaders sending their people through to make sure they are effective and to make sure that they are being as effective as they want to be. Any good leader does some type of quality control, just like a parent wants to make sure that their parenting is effective for their children and that they're not just barking orders and doing things and it's rolling right off the kids' backs. And so the leaders come through. They want to also strengthen their people. They want to affirm their people. And it's kind of against our belief system to think that you will feel better about yourself after being examined. But when you have those positive results, because the assessment results are very positive, then you feel much better about yourself. People get off of the call and they're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I need to go read this again 5 more times because I just never thought about myself in that kind of terminology. I can't tell you how many people said I've never sat down and thought about myself for 90 minutes in a healthy way. You know, we can pick ourselves apart all day, talk about how I hate my nose, I can't stand my feet, I wish my hair was curly and it was straight when it's curly, why can't I sing, why did God make me like this? But to have to sit down and assess yourself with healthy questions that lead and guide you down a healthy road is refreshing to a lot of people. They're shocked. They're like, wow, I've never sat down and thought about myself. I've never thought about God like this. I just haven't done it. And when I was done, I was like, wow, I feel kind of good. Not even knowing what the results said, but just knowing, okay, there is more to me than even I thought.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I would like to ask you, Tyler, if you had to put, and we may have said it, but if it is, let's get your spin on it. But if you had to put your finger on a single frustration that we encounter regarding the assessments and why people take them, what would you say would be the major frustration that comes across?
I would say, when you say major frustration, I want to make sure I'm answering the right thing. You're talking about once they decide to take it and get into this process. Am I correct about that?
Yes. Well, I mean, what makes them finally make the decision? I'm going to do it.
Okay. The major frustration for them that causes them to want to take the assessment?
Yes, or think they need one.
Or think that they need one. Most people, it's that they can't find their place. The major frustration is they don't fit in their churches. They don't know where they fit in their churches. We talked about the people who feel like their leaders don't understand them or can't develop them in their calling or make them feel kind of uncertain about their calling or they are just uncertain. No one's made them feel that way. They just are uncertain about their calling. And so usually it's tied to
It's some sort of not knowing or uncertainty. And others have taken it just to get affirmation. And, you know, I had someone today just tell me, basically, I took the assessment because I was curious.
Okay.
And it went from, he said, it, now I have to truly say that seeing my results, I've gone from curiosity to excitement. So that was a plus. But most times I hear repetitively, I just need to know my place. I just need to be sure where I fit. I just need to know what God's really calling me to do. I just really need to understand where I am. And it, lately, one of the bigger things is that I don't know what to do right now with my life or in my life. They're at a stalemate. They're stagnant. They don't know what the next step is. They're not sure which way they need to go and what needs to happen, what decisions they need to make about their life, their ministry or career. That has been a lot for me as of late, that many people are, like, looking for answers about career advice, ministry advice. Should I do this or do that? So I would say that those have come up as the top frustrations that I've heard, you know, in doing this.
I would have to say that I agree with you. You know, I do read them because I let very little happen, go past me that I don't know about, and I do read them. I like to read them to hear what people say. And the ironic thing is that you'd like to say that they're all ministers, or, you know, because it's tempting to say that they're all ministers. You know, everybody that takes an assessment is a minister. Yeah, but if we're talking about the new Christian priesthood, yeah, right. But we've got people from all walks of life. We've got teachers, we've got, you know, business people, we got a lot of business people, we've got, you know, trainers, we do have prophets and whatever, we've got caseworkers, social workers, we've got all kinds of people who are taking these things, and these are ones that I catch, because, you know, sometimes, you know, whatever, we're there, and then I'm going through so many at one time, but I don't want anyone listening to think that even though people are interested in their purpose and in their calling in God and in Christ, they are all sitting around frustrated people in a prayer closet. No, these are people with thriving careers. These people are doing their jobs. Some of them are doing very high-level jobs. Others are doing very sensitive jobs. And yet that thing that God puts in all of us to yearn to please him, to yearn to present ourselves as that living sacrifice, it overtakes, overshadows everything that we do. You know, it's great. I have this powerful job. I mean, this is a great job. I love it. It is wonderful that I have this skill. We've got all kinds of people with skill sets and careers. But you know what? Where I want to hear God say to my personal soul, in my personal prayer closet, well done. And I don't want to feel this nagging, gnawing question, am I in the place I'm in? Or should I be doing more? Or is it time for me to shift? You mentioned, Prophet Tyler, about people saying, yeah, but I don't know where I am now. I don't know what I'm doing. In today's economy, a lot of jobs are closing down. People are getting laid off left and right. Many of them are having to make career changes. Some of them are having to take lesser jobs and positions. And a lot of that can be a wake-up call that says, you know, I need to take stock of my life. And if you're God's child, you want to know, okay, Lord, what's going on in my life? What am I doing? Where's my next step? Where do I go next? Hey, God, I'm lost. What do I do? You know, what is it that I am to do? How do I follow my course? And so, you know, many of these people, they're late in life. I don't have 25 years to stab in the dark. I just don't have it. I need to know so that I can get on with the rest of my life. If this is a second career, third career, if it's now time for me to do ministry, to take my talents and bring them to the altar of Christ, then I need to know that. But let me put them in the right place on the altar. Let me not just toss them up there and see what happens. And so I think that that's the assessment part that is really valuable. I was thinking, Apostle Sally, about, you know, how you yourself have so many of your colleagues, people who've been in ministry as long as you have, who actually are still saying, I want to figure it out. I need to know. Or even you have some that says, I just want to know where to put my people or what to do with my people. Are you feeling that now? I mean, how often are you getting that in your responses? Did I lose her? Ashley, did I lose her?
No, she's still on the line.
She's probably muted, because if she did, if she saw what I did, she's muted, you know, because I'm muted. And I said, okay. But anyway, that's one of the things that, you know, perhaps she'll find her buttons. But that's one of the things that I've been noticing. I am surprised even at how many of the older saints are like, I'm not done yet. I'm not ready to hang it up. I'm not ready to throw in a towel. I want to finish. You know, sometimes people think, well, what kind of age groups? Okay, so one of you all tell me, what's the age group, the average age group that we get, the span of ages that we get taking our assessment?
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think. I think I've had, well, I think what the youngest we've had is 17 maybe. Definitely up until 70, 72 for sure, years old.
Yeah. And we capture that data because we want you to know that God doesn't stop. You know, Moses was 80. I don't know if we had anybody 80 take it yet. I'm interested in getting that person. You know, I want to see if God is pulling any Moseses out of the chair these days. But I would like to know that. You know, wouldn't you like to know? I'd love to know that. I don't think we had an 80. I'm pulling out the chair. You know, well, you know how the enemy keeps wanting you to sit down and say it's over, and God is like, but it's not over. I still have a work for you. God is still dreaming, and therefore we can still have hope and go forward. So I think that's also something that's, you know, let's deal with some of the hesitancies. No, you still can know who you are and why God made you. You still have something valuable to contribute to the kingdom. And for those of you with teenagers and you don't know, okay, what is my son going to do? What is my daughter going to do? Yes, they're going to go to college. Yes, if you want, they can go to whatever college they want, secular, Christian, it doesn't matter. Let's let them get some education, get them some training for the future. But they still would feel good knowing how they think and how they're built in God, how God built them, and all that he built them to do. That's an important thing. And so I would say to anybody here, if you've got teenagers, the youngest I've known us to have these assessments taken is 15. That's the youngest I've known. So, hey, if you've got a teen that's, you know, coming out of high school, going into the junior, senior year, hey, give it a shot, especially if you know you've raised your child in church or you've raised your child to serve the Lord. Not a bad idea. We've been surprised. I think our youngest, when he ended up a prophet, well, actually both of them were teen boys. They ended up prophets. Well, wouldn't it be nice to know that as a teenager? My goodness, why do we have to wait till we're 55 years old to discover God called us to be a prophet? You know, I mean, God gets a lot more mileage out of getting a prophet young than he does getting them when they're old, because he just got less years to use them. So I just think that's amazing. So, Ashley, do we have any more announcements and testimonials? I know you have something in your box of tricks up back there.
Always got something. All right, let me pull up this testimonial, these testimonials here. Okay. It's like, how does the computer know when it's time to do something important? All right.
We could say it's prophetic, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Here is one. It says, several years ago, I took a ministry assessment through PPM Global Resources, the education and training company founded by Dr. Paula Price. I'm not exaggerating when I say that it had a dynamic impact on my life and ministry. I was impressed and inspired by the assessment's tremendous detail and amazing prophetic insight revealed about the destiny the Lord had for me. A priceless benefit offered by PPM Global is their educational and training resources. Since the assessment, I had taken also highlighted my ministry readiness levels in various categories. I took advantage of the ongoing monthly training for the ministry of an advanced prophet. I have recently completed my second assessment, which identified me as a beginner apostle. Once again, I'm taking advantage of PPM's monthly training and mentoring, at this time the AIT, Apostle and Training Track, and CLOC for credentialing, licensure, ordination, and commissioning. Later this month, well, this assessment came in, or this testimonial came in before last week. This is Charles. He attended the executive training retreat for apostleship training, and he's looking forward to the Apostolic Summit in November. Charles says, the ministerial assessment along with the ongoing training has accelerated my mantle development. This is crucial because the Lord is moving quickly by his Spirit. It is exciting to be an integral part of his plan for families, communities, cities, and nations. Knowing what Jesus has planned, I am blessed to have found an educational company that can help prepare and train me to collaborate effectively with him and my brothers and sisters in Christ. In the future, I'm planning to assist PPM Global in training Mighty Sons and Daughters of God. And he's also in the process of designing a video website, a blog website for ministry training. And so that is from Prophet and Emerging Apostle Charles Chelton of King Jesus Apostleship Center in the King's Prophetic Force.
Wow, that is amazing. And he's been on a journey with us for some time, and God is doing, I mean, I was just with him. God is doing an amazing work in his life, and truly, truly, he is moving up in his niche. So that is great. Who else do we have? Anyone else do you have there? Because I know your computer is trying to play in tongues over there.
Yes, it is. All right, this is an apostle from Chicago says the MAQ and organizational assessments are a dream come true resource for leaders who desire to be prosperous stewards over the human resources God has entrusted to them. I'm so appreciative of the assessment. It's helping me to properly develop my leadership team, giving insight of capabilities, identifying critical areas of care and emotional intelligence. This assessment is a leader's guide to vision accomplishment. I highly recommend it to senior leaders and ministry gifts. And that is Apostle Raphael Robinson from Aurora, Illinois.
Oh, man. And look at you, and you got all those little secret things back there in your box.
There's always something cooking on my stove, Dr. Price.
Hey, listen, that's not a bad thing. You know, I was going to go over just one more. We only have a few minutes, and I was going to go on one more because I just think this is powerful. And I looked at the time and said, well, we have a little bit of wiggle room. Let me do this. And then after I do this one, Ashley, you can give us some announcements because there's just so many things that we can do with this. But let me cover this one. It says teacher, apostolical, and business and finance. Now, it's amazing, and for those of you who are listening, you have to know that it seems like they're the same. But this person here, now the last person we talked about was their secondary gift was business and finance. I mean, they operate that. This person moves in that, and that thing props up that prophetic, you know? So that was this one. This one here, the business and finance is the environment. So what is that talking about? That's talking about the workplace. That's talking about the marketplace. That's talking about doing business outside of the walls of the church. So here we have somebody who is a teacher. And now what's propping up that teacher? Apostolical. You know, in a time when God is working to bring apostles back to full ministry, mainstream ministry, if you will, it is wonderful because we have to convert our own fivefold. I'm sure a lot of apostles out there have tapped into this need. We've got to convert our own fivefold ministers. We have to have that apostolic pastor. We have to have that apostolic evangelist, which was Philip in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Philip in the Bible in the old days. That was Philip, apostolic evangelist. You know, that we have to have that apostolic teacher. So here, the assessment discovered an up-and-coming apostolic teacher who is beyond the gifting level. This person is just a few steps ready from getting into that office. This person is at the manifestation level, which means it's showing up. All of these different areas are showing up. They're awakening. They're acting. Now they're in a point where with just some training, with some development, this person can go into the church and teach business principles, sit down with church leaders and share business principles that they've gained from the workplace. This person can bring the strategy and the insight and even the tact that we sometimes need, when we're going out in the name of the Lord, to the church, and also bring the wisdom of Christ, that apostolic flame, that apostolic forcefulness and focus to their environment. This is, if business and finance is this person, they can look at starting a business. You know, they can look at helping others start businesses. They can look at getting into business consulting, entrepreneurship, working with entrepreneurs, working alongside entrepreneurs. But the key factor in this person is instruction and training. This person is going to help put those programs together, come up with that training program, come up with the orientation, come up with the how-tos and the where-tos. This person is going to be able to walk people through, you know, the awakening all the way through. Now, many churches have business people in it, or aspiring business people in their midst who are hoping to get something, and we hope we can get a little bit of training or whatever. You have now this person, wherever they go and wherever they belong, they can be that person that sets up the programs that help get the aspiring business and your aspiring entrepreneurs and all of that ready to do it. And this person does it with an apostolical flame. Now, here's something interesting. We didn't say prophet. We did not say prophet or prophetic. So this person is going to be the organizer, going to be that establisher. If you are, if they need a school, hey, do you know it's ironic that churches have a lot of ministry schools, no business schools, but we want to go in the marketplace. How are you going to go to marketplace and we haven't trained people in business? Here's somebody who can do it, along with that other one that we talked about. So I wanted to give you as many alternatives and examples of what this thing produces and how you can use it with your people. Can you imagine getting a brand new look, a fresh look at your congregation, a fresh look at your staff, Christian business owner, a fresh look at your team? You know, prophets, intercessors, evangelists, even missions people. Come on, a fresh look. There is not one aspect of the church that we don't need to understand who is working with us. Scripture tells us, know those who labor among you. Scripture tells us, prove all things. They tell us to examine ourselves. So God gives us that. And you can do it with this assessment. You can sit down tomorrow and say, team, we're going to do this. If you make up your mind to do that, or you don't even have to sit down with them. Thank God for technology. You can just issue out an email, fire off an email to them. We're going to do this, and this is how we're going to do it. You can get everybody together for the demo. Pastor, you don't have to just watch the demo yourself. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. You know, you don't have to watch that demo. So you can gather your people together and say, here's a demo on the assessments. You don't have to just, you know, take our word for it. You can do that. And guess what? What we do on Tuesday nights, record it. You can take your people back to listen to this. It's not a hard sell. We do all of the work. We're on this line with you every Tuesday. We are doing the work. All you have to do is say, you know what, this is plausible, this is viable, I can see us doing it. If you're marked for the future, internet, technology, electronics, computers, they're not going away unless God shuts down his power sources. They're not going away. So we need to avail ourselves of these tools and learn how to take advantage of them. So listen, our time is winding up, and it's been wonderful. I thank you all for joining us here. And for just spending this time with us on Tuesday, again, I encourage you, with the love of the Lord, I encourage you, take control, take charge of your life, of your call. God has given you a charge. Your life is a charge. There's a mandate on your life. You need to know what that is. There's a charge God wants you to keep. There's a position God needs you to discharge. You can do this. All you have to do is go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I want to take an assessment. If you are an organization, go to ppmglobalresources.com, hit the button and say, schedule me for a demo. And trust me, you and your organization will never be the same. I promise you that by the Holy Ghost, because that's the only constant report we get. Until next Tuesday, well, really, until Thursday, God bless you, and we will meet again. Have a great week in Jesus. Good night.
Support the Paula Price Show today
For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.